Good afternoon, and welcome to Faith on the Line with Amazing Discoveries. I'm Jason Herberg, and for the next half hour, we are pleased to present Brian Newman, an ex-rock musician who for the past 9 years has taught Christian principles in choosing and listening to good music. He has lectured around the world, and for the next few weeks, we are happy to have him share these amazing insights into music, the media, and the mind. Anyone who enjoys listening to music and wants to know how to choose good music will enjoy these presentations. And now, here's Brian.
Well, welcome again to the Voices of a Dying Planet series, and we are going into the second segment of this new phase in our study, where we are looking at the history behind what is happening in the modern contemporary music scene. In other words, the roots. We are testing the spirits, as we have looked at the scripture earlier on, looking at the fruits, and indeed trying to discover what kind of tree the fruits were picked from. Maybe we could put the question this way and say, was the inspiration coming from the vine, which was Jesus Christ, as it should if we are Christians, or was the inspiration behind much of what we are dealing with today picked from the orchard of Satan? We established in our study already, we've looked at some of the history, we looked at the sun worship elements, we looked at the voodoo ritual, we looked at the crossroads between the physical and spiritual worlds, and how they believed this experience of the crossroads took place. And we also made it very clear right at the end that it was considered that through the music itself, through those intricate layers of drumming that were used, the guiding pulse and the syncopated rhythms, that they believed it was through this that, and it was considered that this was the primary source of the occult power of this crossroads experience that took place. What I wanted to discuss today was to try and establish what it was that helped to cause this trance-like altered state of consciousness to take place in a voodoo ritual ceremony or any pagan ceremony where they are experiencing this kind of state of mind. And maybe what we should do is look at the musical elements, particularly in this case the rhythmical elements, and what kind of effect they have on the brain and on the human organism. This is of vital importance. Well, first of all, you remember we spoke about the guiding pulse. And I gave you some kind of illustration, and I'm going to have to try and do it as best as I can. There might be a guiding pulse which goes doof, 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 over and over and over repetitiously. That's the guiding pulse upon which all the other beats are built, or the rhythms are built. In hypnotism, and of course hypnotism is a means of instituting a state of trance in the person that you are putting under hypnosis. In hypnotism, there is a principle which is called monotonous repetition, which helps to facilitate a trance-like state of mind. For example, one way in which it may work is that the hypnotist may speak in a very monotonous, monotone kind of tone of voice, and this will help to induce a sleep or trance-like state. Another thing which may be used is that they may use a pendulum, which swings rhythmically backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, to help induce a trance-like state. Also, in modern times, they have also experimented with a constant repetitious rhythm, a pulse going doof, 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 that will also help to cause a trance-like state to occur, because of the monotonous, repetitious nature of it. So in other words, a hypnotic state of mind can be induced through constant, repetitious pulse. That's number one. Now this is why in the voodoo ritual or pagan forms of worship, they use constant, repetitious drumming, constant pulse, to induce a trance-like state of mind. But of course there is something else which they use as well, as we have already mentioned, and that is the aspect of the syncopated rhythm, which they use in the music, these rhythms that cross one another. In a very simplistic form, let me describe syncopation, syncopated rhythm, and actually what a syncopated rhythm does. We will look at some more of the scientific explanation a little bit later on. But basically this, A syncopated rhythm is a rhythm which does not fall on the beginning of the bar of the beat. In other words, that is not where the emphasis is placed, but it may be placed on the offbeat. For example, the guiding pulse may be going boof, 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 boof. But then the snare drum, if you are playing a normal drum kit, might go da. So the rhythm may sound like this. Doof, da, doof, da, doof, da. The emphasis is, of course, being placed on the third beat of the bar. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1. And it has this kind of offbeat, if I may use it, kind of feel, which, of course, in the terminology which is used, is called a syncopated kind of rhythm. Now, that is a simple explanation of syncopation. Syncopation can be far more complex than that. You can place it in different places in the beat, but the emphasis is not placed on the beginning of the bar, as in, let's say we are counting a 4-4 bar, as is used in music, where we might say 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, where the emphasis is being placed on the beginning, in other words, of the 1. Of course, when you are playing many different kinds of instruments and you are creating complex rhythms, you will have different instruments making different kinds of sounds. For example, the snare drum and the bass drum may be going doof-da, doof-da, but you may have other instruments like the hi-hat going chick-chick-chick-chick-chick-chick-chick-chick-chick-chick-chick-chick. So you would have all different kinds of rhythms that are interplaying with one another to create this effect. And of course, in the Buddha ritual setting, where they are using the drums, it is constant, repetitiously used, monotonously, until, as the dancers are continuing, a trance-like state of mind is induced. That doesn't mean that every time you are exposed to a repetitious rhythm or a syncopated rhythm that you are suddenly going to fall down and go into a state of trance. But it does mean that there is a gradual lessening of the senses, a subduing, a suppression of the senses which takes place. And if the environment is ideal for the situation, and if you are more open to it, you can indeed go into total trance. But first of all, let's realize that all of us, to a larger or lesser degree, when we are exposed to repetitious pulsation and syncopation, will go into even a semi-state of trance, where the senses become numbed. Very important to recognize that we don't want to have the situation where our sensibilities become numbed. As a Christian, we are to be aware all the time and be in touch with everything around us. When your sensibilities become numbed, your ability to make right decisions becomes affected as well. But what is more important when you look at it from a biblical point of view, from the body temple point of view, you find out that there is a particular effect that takes place within the human organism when you are exposed to constant repetitious syncopated rhythm, which is not in conformity to the body being the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, the body temple principle that we have looked at in our earlier discussions. For example, when you are exposed, besides the fact that there is the numbing of the senses which takes place, but when you are exposed to constant repetitious syncopation, something happens to the blood pressure, the glands of the body, and there is a kind of a friction which is caused between the right and the left cerebral hemispheres of the brain when you are exposed to it, because there is a kind of a friction which takes place because of the syncopation in the music. How the emphasis on the beat is placed will determine whether this friction takes place. Now, you interpret it when you are listening to it as a kind of adrenaline rush or some kind of excitement. You want to dance, you want to move, you feel excited by the kind of rhythm, but you are not realizing, of course, what is happening to the body. It may feel good, but like we posed, the question we posed in our earlier presentations, is it actually good for you when you trace the effects from cause to effect? This is the vitally important question. So it may feel good. You may feel like dancing. Some people use syncopated, constant repetitious pulse to do aerobic exercises too, and so on, without realizing that science has clearly shown us that when we expose ourselves to constant repetitious pulse, your blood pressure will go up immediately. In fact, you can even do an experiment. You could sit down in a chair and you could just relax without doing any physical exercise. Take your blood pressure as it would normally be at a resting state. Then all you need to do without moving is turn on music that is emphasizing constant repetitious syncopated pulse, as most of our modern forms of music are doing. And of course, this is what we are doing in the seminar, is looking at the origins that form the foundation for much of our modern music, and we're going to make this clearer and clearer as we continue. Switch on a music that emphasizes that, and test your blood pressure, and it will start going up without doing anything at all, just as a result of the music. But what most people don't realize is that actually, when you are exposed to it, even your heart begins to malfunction. It has a direct effect on the nervous system, and when overexposed for long periods of time, you can actually destroy, in other words, it has a destructive effect on the nervous system. This is of course confirmed by much medical and scientific research that has been done today. In fact, maybe I can explain it through giving you a little bit of an example of a case study that was done. A mother took her daughter to a hospital to have a growth removed from her finger, and she went into theater. Local anesthetic was applied to the growth, but they did hook her up onto a heart monitor to test and see what happened to her heart. And they noticed that during the operation that was taking place, the heart monitor showed that the girl's heart was malfunctioning. At first they were a little bit baffled by this, but then somebody got the idea that they should take off the Walkman headphones that the young girl was wearing to distract herself from the operation that was taking place. The minute they took off the headphones, the heart rate came back to normal again. And of course, what would happen if they put it back on again? Then again the heart would show to malfunction. She was listening to music that was having a constant, using a constant repetitious syncopated type of rhythm. Of course, this confirmed what much of the research has been confirming for so long. Most of our forms of music, like our forms of heavy metal, thrash, rock, punk, rave, techno, all use this same type of repetitious syncopated rhythm in those styles of music. Rock and roll, right from the very early days, was utilizing it. And of course, we will look at the origins of how it got into rock and roll in a little while. We've already started that, of course, but we will go into more detail in a little while. But they did experiments, for example, with plants. These are some of the very early experiments. They found that when a plant is exposed to rock music, which is using this kind of rhythm, whether it be rock, heavy metal, thrash, punk, any of these heavier forms of music that emphasize these rhythms, the plants actually die when they are exposed to it. Yet if they are exposed to music which is soothing and gentle, the plants flourish and grow. They experimented with rats and dogs. And again they found, they had a group of rats that went through a maze to get to their food. All were looked after in exactly the same way. The only difference between the two groups was the one had soothing, gentle music, the other one had the syncopated, harsh forms of music that they were listening to. Eventually, the ones who were listening to the soothing music, they were quite easily going through the maze, finding their food, growing fat and strong, and so on. But the other group that was exposed to the syncopated, repetitious, harsh-sounding music, what happened to them? Well, eventually they were so confused that they couldn't even find their way through the maze anymore, couldn't get to their food, and they died. Dogs that were exposed to the same, then the experiment became known as Pavlov's dogs, because he was doing the experiment. The dogs that were exposed to the syncopated harsh music eventually became so disobedient and so had such lack of concentration that you couldn't cope with them or deal with them anymore. Whereas the other ones who were exposed to soothing forms, they actually flourished and they were obedient. The same experiments were applied to human beings, and they found exactly the same kind of situation. For example, in hospitals, they were experimenting with this, and particularly in mental institutions where it's easier to see what is happening because people are already to some or lesser degree mentally incapacitated. And they found that people in those institutions, when they were exposed to soothing, gentle music, you could communicate with them, you could actually deal with them on a more normal level. But when people were exposed to syncopated, harsher forms of music, they just became uncontrollable. Some of them that had the tendency actually went into epilepsy, and of course you could not deal with them. Again, in the long term, people who are normal, the signs may not be shown immediately, but the clear indication was there that it has an effect on the nervous system, and of course, as already shown, and as we will show through some of the scientific research, also has effect on the heart rate, the glands of the body, and so on. The heart actually malfunctions, and even purely from a body temple point of view, a Christian should not be exposing oneself to something which is destructive to the body temple. Of course, it stimulates a kind of excitement. They call this the sexuality in music. And in fact, Sound Effects, in a book by Firth, they speak about the sexuality of music as being usually referred to in terms of its rhythm. It is the beat that commands a directly physical response. The perception of rhythm involves the whole human organism in the psychology of music. They go on to tell us, in another bit of research that was done in Popular Mechanics, it was recorded in March 2002, that music elicits unconscious reactions. And then they go on to say that pleasant melodies, in other words, soothing pleasant melodies of all sorts, are said to lift depression, relieve anxiety, reduce pain associated with cancer. Whereas we saw in the other experiments that were done in our previous study as well, that music that was harsh, music that emphasized these more negative aspects, actually had a breakdown effect on the nervous system. You may remember the research that was done by the British Performing Arts Trust and how they saw that the musicians who had been exposed to these forms of music suffered nervous tension, shaking, loss of concentration, took medication, and so on. So this is very interesting. In fact, in psychology today, one of the leading magazines in the psychology fraternity, they recorded in the 1985 December issue that musical rhythms affect both our hearts and our brains. One road to arousing a range of agitated feelings, tense, excited, sometimes sexual, is through pronounced and insistent rhythms, artfully used to heighten the sexual tension. Drumming may produce these powerful effects by actually driving the brain's electrical rhythms, which of course ultimately, as you know, have an effect on the nervous system of the body. In fact, I have material in my possession where today they are actually, people who are doing the research are actually warning the public not to use syncopated kinds of rhythms while they are exercising, like for aerobics and these other kinds of exercises, because it actually is having a detrimental effect on the heart and your heart is malfunctioning while you are exposed to these syncopated types of rhythms. In fact, Warren Brodsky from Ben Gurion University in Israel speaks about an experiment they were doing with drivers and how they were exposing them to different atmospheres of music. And he says, this is the evidence in the research, that drivers who listen to fast music in their cars have more than twice as many accidents as those listening to slower tracks. As the tempo increased, Brodsky found drivers took more risks. The tempo ranged from a slow 60 beats a minute to a fast 120 beats a minute or more. And of course, 120 beats a minute or more is roughly the tempo which is used in most of our dance music today. Of course, he says that some of them, of course, had no music at all. But they found something interesting which supports all the other research which has been done. He found that heart rates fluctuated with the music according to the tempo and the rhythm of the music. And of course, he suggests, of course, in this study that it shows that music is distracting to the drivers. So yeah, we have some very, very interesting research that has been done. And you might notice too that there's something interesting here. Maybe I should share the statement with you as well. Is that there is a type of, and you remember the statement was made that the sexual tension in one of the previous statements we read is actually aided by the artful use of these different rhythms which drive the electrical brain waves. Well, there is definitely a sexual tension, and that you can actually see even in the methods or ways of dancing that are used when you use syncopated rhythm, that there is a sexual stimulation which is actually caused. It may not be interpreted in your mind as consciously sexuality, but it is even evidenced in the actual movements that are made by the people. For example, yes, a statement which comes out of The Secret Power of Music by David Tame, where he writes that when pulsation and syncopation are the rhythmic foundations of the music at a dance hall, for example, the movements of the dancers can invariably be seen to become very sensual. Now, why is this the case? Well, let's use a few examples here. Classical music. And by the way, I use it as an example. There are other styles we can use as well. But when you look at classical dancing, you will find that the movements of the people, particularly when it comes to the body, that the hips of the dancers are very stiff and they move in a very lateral kind of motion. But when you see somebody who is dancing to a syncopated type of rhythm that is repetitious, the movements become very sensual. Of course, the hips loosen up and you have this kind of more erratic style of dancing which takes place. Of course, this clearly demonstrates the point. The message the message is sent into the brain. The brain interprets it as this kind of adrenaline, this excitement that takes place, which is a stimulating kind of excitement which takes place. The person then interprets that. The message is sent to the nervous system of the body, and of course the movements suggest that message, which of course is planted inside the brain. So here we see in our study, scientifically, from a scientific point of view, it has clearly been shown that we are negatively affected by the exposure to these different kinds of rhythms that have been under discussion so far. But we don't want to just leave it at that point. We want to continue looking now into the historical roots. We want to find out how it is that this syncopated repetitious pulse, which was used in the pagan worship that we have studied now, how it actually became incorporated, and this is the aim, into our modern styles of music. And indeed, this is exactly what we will be continuing to do in our next study. We are going to find out how it came to the West and finally found its way into our systems of music. So please join me again next time. And thank you very much once again for your time. Goodbye.
Music is powerful. It has the ability to direct your emotions by even just listening to certain types of music. This just shows the wisdom needed in choosing music that uplifts and edifies a person rather than music that causes negative emotions that may not be beneficial to your walk with God. A cassette of this program can be purchased for $7 Canadian. Please call 1-866-572-9457. That's 866-572-9457. Once again, we are also offering Brian's book entitled From Rock and Roll to Rock of Ages, which can be purchased for $17 Canadian. The book shares Brian's personal testimony of how he got into the rock music industry and reveals how God called him out of that scene into speaking around the world as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. The book also gives clear biblical principles in choosing good music. You can order with a major credit card by calling Amazing Discoveries at 866-572-9457. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.amazingdiscoveries.org, where you can listen to past radio programs and find articles on many of the topics we discuss. That's amazingdiscoveries.org. We encourage you to write to us at Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3. And for those in the US, please write to Box 4480, Blaine, Washington, 98231. Before we go, we'd just like to leave you with a song entitled Amazing Grace that was arranged and produced by Brian himself and can be ordered through Amazing Discoveries. I'm Jason Hernberg. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
ways that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me
just been listening to Brian Newman with the song entitled Amazing Grace. Brian Newman is touring the US and Canada this fall, sharing his research and insights on music in a number of churches across the country. If you have enjoyed his presentations on the radio, we would greatly appreciate your kind donations to help finance the music series Voices of a Dying Planet, being brought to North America in November. Brian's series have been a blessing to many in the past, and we thank you for being a part of bringing that blessing to others with your donations. Your tax-deductible donations can be sent to Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3, or call us at 1-866-572-9457. Again, your donations are tax deductible, and you can even call us with a Visa or MasterCard number for quick processing of your donation. Brian's message is a vital one and needs to go out to all churches around the country. If you are interested in booking Brian Newman for a music series in your church, please call the office at 1-866-572-9457.